This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk about politicizing death and disaster. We're going to talk about women, Kamala Harris. Why are they doing these terrible podcasts? Jack Posobiec joins us with some amazing news. All that's coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so it's hurricane season. Obviously, our prayers need to be with the people of Florida right now. It's not just North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia and Virginia still recovering from Helene. Now, as you're watching me, Milton has begun its destruction in Florida. What people need right now is prayer. They need your support. In the wake of Milton, they may need help from you, help from me, in whatever way we can deliver help. Maybe it's a food, or maybe it's baby formula. Maybe if you have the time, maybe it's you, me going physically over there. I don't know, but what they need is our prayer. What they need is our support. But it's important, I think, just because it's hurricane season and because we're seeing so much of this now, it's important to have another talk just to open up the show. We'll get into so many other things in this show about how the communist sees tragedy, how he sees things, and why do they treat it so differently? Like right now, I'll be honest with you, it's what time is it right now? It's 9:05 Eastern time, something like that. I don't know, the Eastern time zone's an anomaly to me, but it's right around that time. And as I'm doing the show, we're here on the first doing the show, I'm thinking about those people in Florida, what they're going through. Hopefully physically safe. Are they watching Everything Lost? The communists, guys like Bill Nye, doesn't occur to him at all.
The other side, as we often call it, has no plans to address climate change, no plans for long-term dealing with these sorts of problems. If you have young voters out there, encourage them to vote. People say, what can I do about climate change? If we were talking about it, associating it with big storms like this, that would be really good. But the main thing is vote. Thank you.
And Bill, very quickly, how much of an impact do you see climate change playing in all of these explanations that you've given us? How much do you see climate change as being a part of that?
Oh, it's no question, everybody.
No question. They can't help themselves. Why do they do this? Just a reminder, there's no such thing as human tragedy to an anti-human. They do this. They can do this. Their conscience gives them permission to do this because they're anti-humans. They're the enemies of humanity. No decent human being would do what they do. but communists will. Is there a mosquito tragedy for you? Is that something that's even possible? If I told you 1,000 mosquitoes were just slaughtered in front of your house, would your heart be tugging? Would you be crying, ah, the mosquitoes? No, of course. Why not? Because you're an anti-mosquito person. You hate mosquitoes. We all do. I hate mosquitoes. If you told me 1,000 of them died, I'd say, wow, how do we up those numbers? It's hard to accept, but that is exactly how the communist views humanity. And that's why he can take advantage of human tragedy, because it's not a tragedy to him. It's an opportunity. Now, speaking of an opportunity, Kamala Harris, this gets interesting. We'll try to do this quickly. Kamala Harris tried to politicize this whole thing.
Governor DeSantis, NBC is reporting Governor DeSantis is ignoring your calls on hurricanes, resources, and help. How does that hurt the situation here?
You know, moments of crisis, if nothing else, should really be the moment that anyone who calls themselves a leader says they're going to put politics aside and put the people first. People are in desperate need of support right now, and playing political games at this moment in these crisis situations, these are the height of emergency situations, is just utterly irresponsible, and it is selfish, and it is about political gamesmanship.
So Dome's trying to make it about Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis, I'm not going to play it for you. We've already played it for you before. Stood up and said, that's crazy. She's politicizing it. But that's not the interesting thing about this. You already know all that and the why. The interesting thing was Kamala Harris is going with a consistent message that Republicans are evil and they're politicizing it and they're doing the wrong thing. So who would step up and defend Republicans? Joe Biden did?
The governor of Florida has been cooperative. He said he's gotten all that he needs. I talked to him again yesterday, and I said, whatever. I said, no, you're doing a great job.
Doing a great job. Kamala Harris is trying to take advantage. Why is Joe Biden pouring cold water on her efforts? Well, that leads me to our next topic, which we're going to get into in more depth with Jack Posobiec. Remember what John Phillips came on the show yesterday and discussed when it comes to Kamala and Joe?
He was not supposed to endorse Kamala. He was supposed to endorse an open Democratic convention where then the power brokers could pick whoever it is that they determined was the most electable. If you go back to that day that he got out of the race, it was two statements that were put together kind of hastily, including one that Nancy Pelosi said she didn't think he even wrote himself. He got out of the race, and then like a short period of time later, he came out and said, and I endorse Kamala. Well, because of the calendar, that took an open convention off the table, and they were stuck with her. In many ways, I think Kamala is Joe's revenge for doing what they did to him. And who knows, maybe he'll end up getting the last laugh after all.
Have you thought about that since John said it? A lot of people have been talking about it. Jack Posobiec is going to join us here in a couple minutes to talk about it. But I just want to brew on that with you for just a brief moment when you think about this. Remember when Joe Biden, remember when we first heard he wasn't running again? You remember, it was a letter. It was days until we actually heard from Joe Biden. A letter got published, and it wasn't even just like they had typed it on social media. Someone printed it out on a piece of paper, printed it, took a picture of the letter, and put it up on social media. And it was Joe Biden in the letter. In fact, Joe Biden even mentions Kamala Harris by name in the letter. Remember that? And do you remember the chief architect of Joe Biden getting knifed out of the White House? Remember who the chief architect of that was? It was Nancy Pelosi. She's been asked about it several times. It's the worst kept secret in Washington, D.C. Nancy Pelosi, there were many people involved, but she was the tip of the spear, if you will. Grandma Vodka was, in getting Joe Biden out. Now back to the letter. Do you remember when Nancy Pelosi went on the news and talked about the letter? And when she said, it was almost odd when she went on the news and said it. She went on the news and said, well, the letter, I don't know. It didn't even sound like Joe Biden. She was dumping all over the letter that was published. This really leads to an interesting conversation and an observation when you consider the things Pelosi said, when you consider how disastrous Kamala Harris has been. Joe Biden is running to the press to compliment Ron DeSantis. Remember when Kamala Harris gave this speech the other day, trying to look presidential after Helene? Joe Biden, while she was speaking, stomped all over it and gave an impromptu press conference. Is Joe Biden trying to lose the election for Democrats? It's not a conversation I honestly ever really considered with any level of seriousness, because as you know, the system speaks with one voice at all times. The system speaks with one voice. It swims in the same direction. It does. That's what it does. Did they knife out Joe Biden and not take into account his ability to drop a poison pill in the race to punish everybody? That may make you uncomfortable, but I might be right. John Phillips might be right. Jack Posobiec might be right. Jack Posobiec has some sources when it comes to this. Is there trouble inside the White House and the vice president's mansion? Discuss that with Jack in a moment. Before we discuss that, let's discuss your phone, your cell phone service, which sucks. I'm just kidding. I mean, maybe your service coverage is fine. I just mean the provider, AT&T and T-Mobile, Verizon. These are horrible companies. Go look at their charitable giving and just know that's your money. You know what? That's all you have to look up. Go look up your cell phone provider and where they give to charity. Are you proud about that? I've had all those companies. I'm guilty. Switch to PureTalk. When they give to veterans. They're getting veterans back on their feet. You'll pay less. Same 5G network. You don't have to switch phones, although you can. You can get a new phone. PureTalk makes everything easy. The American company. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Go make the switch today. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Calls themselves a leader, says they're going to put politics aside and put the people first. People
people are in desperate need of support right now.
The governor of Florida has been cooperative. He said he's gotten all that he needs.
Playing political games at this moment in these crisis situations, these are the height of emergency situations. It's just utterly irresponsible, and it is selfish.
And I said, no, you're doing a great job. It's being done well. We thank you for it. And I literally gave my personal phone number to
him. And it is about political gamesmanship instead of doing the job that you took an oath to do, which is to put the people first.
Every governor from Florida to North Carolina has been fully cooperative and supportive.
Why the two different messages? You never see that out of the system. Two different messages? System speaks with one voice. What's going on? Is there trouble in the palace? Joining me now, my friend Jack Posobiec, author of many things, but now his new book is called Bulletproof, which is freaking cool. Jack, okay, Joe, Kamala Harris, it's obvious you've been talking about this forever, sources about tension between the two camps, but is Joe Biden trying to torpedo Kamala Harris?
Oh, Jesse, 100%. And in fact, this is something that we get into a lot in Bulletproof, because we go into the palace coup about how Joe Biden was removed from the presidential race and essentially had his own presidency ended, stunted, aborted, if you will, something Democrats are big fans of, in the midst of the campaign. Remember, Joe Biden's co-chair came out on the morning of July 21st and said on Meet the Press, on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan, that he would still be running and that he was the nominee. Well, it turns out that would not to be. So because later in the day, a random Twitter account put up the letter from him, which was unsigned, saying that he would be dropping from the race. We got no video evidence from Joe Biden or Jill or anyone for almost a full week after this. What's really going on? Joe Biden was forced out like Khrushchev back in the 1960s when he's vacationing down on the Black Sea and they pulled him in to talk about agricultural reports. No, this is exactly what they've done. And so Biden is now responding back with something that I call Jill's revenge. And we've seen a pattern now that has emerged of Biden. Think of it. Biden puts on the Trump hat. Then Biden holds press conferences, two of which, including one of the ones that you just played, occurred during Kamala Harris either events or as the one that just happened the other day, she was on The View, and then Biden calls a press conference to directly undercut her while she is while she's on The View and responding to her saying that DeSantis hasn't been in communication. He says he's been in great communication. Look, Biden and Jill have been in this game for a very, very long time. They know exactly what they're doing. And of course, he's also going around saying, oh, she's in lockstep with me. She's doing everything that we can together. She's made all the decisions with me. He's doing everything he can to embrace her because he knows that the party views him as toxic. The country really views him as toxic. And he's doing whatever he can to essentially become a kamikaze to torpedo her chances going in. This is the White House shade war. It's been going on for 3.5 years, and now it is fully hot.
Okay, so I'm going to get some clarification on a couple details here. You have been talking to us about the tension between Jill Biden specifically and Kamala Harris, those two camps. And okay, we got that. But Joe Biden, he did have a palace coup done on him. He was removed from re-election, but it wasn't done by Kamala Harris. I mean, I realize she was kind of a player. She was the heir apparent, but this was run by Nancy Pelosi. Everybody really knows that. So why the animosity towards Harris? Or is it really just a screw it? I'm taking my ball, going home, and I'm burning everything down on my way out the door. Why the ire towards Dome is what I want to know.
Well, it's essentially what you're saying there. So yes, that's true. Kamala wasn't really one of the ones pulling the strings or pressing the levers when it came to this. It was Nancy Pelosi and the Obama family as well. Michelle, just as much as Barack, probably even more so than Barack Obama, were intricately involved in this. And something that a lot of people don't know is that Hunter Biden's former wife was also close friends with Michelle Obama. So this was something that had always been a huge falling out between the two of them and between the two families. And so there's no love lost between them whatsoever. Remember, Barack Obama never even invited Joe Biden into the residence during their 8 years together in the White House. And so passing him over, look, Obama passed over Joe Biden in early 2016. 2016 when Biden was trying to run for president, and Obama said, no, we're going to go with Hillary Clinton this time around because you are going to mess things up. Let me euphemistically put it that way. So what Biden is responding to is this feeling of he's been passed over, that he's always been overlooked, that he's always the one that's being undercut by everybody else. And so he's in full on burn it down mode, Joker mode, Heath Ledger Joker, not the current one. And he wants to just watch the world burn right now. And that's exactly what's going on.
Okay, Jack, I'm sorry, I hate to keep rewinding, but you're such a great source of information for this stuff. Barack Obama, Joe Biden, the tensions between those two have been known by people in political circles for a long time. What I've never actually been completely clear about is why. I realize Joe is an idiot and a bit of a boob at times, and I get all those things, but Barack Obama, a committed America-hating communist, Joe Biden didn't hold him back from those plans. What's the deal with those two?
Well, it really comes down to the idea that Barack Obama has no respect for him whatsoever. Keep in mind, this is the guy who looks at the United States ruling class and certainly in terms of race, certainly in terms of history, as something that needs to be overtaken and overthrown. And so Joe Biden, having been there since the 1970s, to Barack Obama, he's just part of that old political class. And sir, they used him as a means to an end through the vice presidency and through the time when he was on the ticket, because he was supposed to be this balancing act. You have this radical junior senator from Illinois who's only been around for a couple of years suddenly running for president. And so it's it speaks to a broader tension within the party right now, the Democrat Party, where you have the older moderates. These were the types that went for the union votes. Again, Joe Biden, Scranton Joe, right? Going for the working class voters, the union types. Tim Walz is trying to do the same thing right now, by the way. But then with Barack Obama and Kamala Harris, you've got people that are deeply in this, as you say, America-hating progressive lane. And they're trying to use people like Tim Walz and Joe Biden to basically paint over what it is they're actually all about.
Okay, let's go back to the Kamala versus Dome war. Did things get physical between Joe Biden and Kamala staffers? You mentioned this shade war. Talk to us about how deep this soap opera goes.
Yeah, so there was a report that I got a couple of weeks ago where essentially they were saying that this, now keep in mind, this situation happened after Joe's press room briefing, which was totally by surprise. When Joe Biden has never graced the James Brady press room of the White House up until that point, I guess about a week and a half ago now here. And he's never given a press conference like that from the White House. He's never popped in. Then all of a sudden, he pops in one the other day and begins undercutting Kamala Harris. This led to, again, according to a White House source, a White House official, led to a physical altercation between the camps, between Team B and Team K within the White House, essentially actually getting physical. And we're told that that some members of the White House staff had to get involved to break them apart. Now, nothing overly physical, you know, no hospital visits or anything like that. But it actually got so bad that the Kamala staffers were screaming that you are undercutting us. You are doing everything you can to block us down and get in our way, that eventually they came in and just lost it. And they came in saying, we are going to fight you. And because ultimately, Jesse, they know they're getting desperate. They know they are getting desperate, and the wheels are absolutely coming off for Kamala Harris. Her staff is feeling it as well. Whereas the Biden team is kind of saying, well, told you so.
Oh, that had to be the most effeminate fight in history. Whether it was dudes or chicks, I could just see the slapping and things going on in there. It had to be hilarious.
Yeah, of course, like nobody said, went to the hospital. No hospital visits.
Yeah, so somebody broke a nail or something. All right. How bad is it, Jack, inside the Kamala Harris camp? I know what I want, right? I want to run a resounding Trump victory. I want these people destroyed. Everyone knows what I want. I don't want to look at it through my biased glasses. I am hearing a lot of panic from that camp. Am I hearing right?
Well, that is what you're hearing. Look, their internals have them down with working class whites, working class Hispanics, working class blacks. They're up really. It's college educated and super college educated whites, you know, so higher, so post-grad or PhDs. and then single women, essentially. Single women is who they're with. And so you've got people like Lorraine Bowles there. I'm just looking at my notes here. Lorraine Bowles, the chief of staff of Kamala Harris, is now telling media contacts, really on background, saying things that, like, she's not going to come in, we're not going to pardon Hunter Biden, and, you know, we need to deny this all the way, that the relationship is over, the buddy-buddy relationship with DeSantis after, you know, trying to bury the hatchet with that whole thing is busted everything open. Something where even we're being, I'm being told that Kamala Harris even referred to Biden as an a-hole, not even just a few nights ago. And so this thing is totally, totally blown up because, look, you're just looking at a campaign. Again, by the way, Jesse, these are all things. These are all issues that usually come out in a primary. When you have a primary for an election, you have the, like there was a primary on the Republican side, that these are things that shake out people, you know, they combat, they go to debates, they do, you know, the various media hits, et cetera, et cetera. They go through that. Kamala Harris never had any of this. 14 million votes were just shoved down the toilet drain. And so instead of that, you get this candidate who is never supposed to be there trying to pretend like she knows what she's doing. And she simply doesn't. Again, the bigger and more important thing for us to understand, though, is that you're looking at a regime. You're looking at a regime that has done these things. Kamala Harris didn't decide to be there the same way she didn't decide to be vice president. She was chosen because of the George Floyd moment, because back in 2020, they knew they couldn't have a white woman like Klobuchar or Whitmer, who Biden was initially planning to put there because they had that Midwestern appeal. Instead, he said, you know what? I got to go with the black woman or the black slash mixed woman from California. That's why she was there. She is ultimately a DEI hire. And now the regime says, well, Joe Biden's got a screw loose. We're going to pull him out. Forget about those 14 million votes. We are going to install the candidate that we have decided. So you're not just looking at a campaign in free fall. You're looking at a regime in free fall. And people really need to understand that we don't live in a democracy. We don't live in a constitutional republic right now. We live in an oligarchy.
What a tangled web we weave. All right, before I let you go, real quick, Jack, Bulletproof. Tell us about it quickly.
Well, so we get into all of this in Bulletproof. We talk about not just the history of Thomas Matthew Crooks and Ryan Wesley Routh, but we talk about the fact that how could there be 12 independent security failures all occurring on the same day that a malicious gunman is trying to murder President Trump? And then we simply ask the question, well, what if they weren't security failures? What if instead the point of a system is what it does? And what if the plan was not to secure President Trump in either of these instances, including, by the way, when he was down at his West Palm Beach golf course at Trump International? What if the plan was to unsecure President Trump? And if the plan, the goal, the intention was to unsecure President Trump, then it was a mission success. The only failure was that Ryan Wesley Routh ran away and Thomas Wesley Crooks was not able to aim center mass. These essential problems, and by the way, I was just at the Butler rally this past weekend, met Corey Compatori's family, who, by the way, was murdered by Thomas Wesley Crooks. And people seem to have completely forgotten about this fact, that there was someone that he didn't miss. And there were people who were actually, who went home missing one family member from that event and from that rally. You won't hear that in the mainstream media. You won't hear that anywhere. And Kamala says that Trump doesn't care about people. I'm like, excuse me, he just put somebody in the ground, right? They just had to have a funeral for this guy, essentially, and the Ave Maria and the opera singing. And then they're gonna come around and say this wasn't done. No. Jesse, the fact that we don't have any answers on this, the fact that the FBI isn't telling us, the DHS isn't telling us, and the Secret Service isn't telling us, has led us to launch our own independent investigation where we've hired private investigators on our own, by our own dime. Basically, we're using the book sales to promote this thing and continue it forward so that we are conducting shoe leather investigations, going door to door, Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, where this guy lived, Butler, Pennsylvania, and I don't know, maybe we'll even have to send people all the way to Ukraine, it turns out, because you got a Ukrainian foreign fighter who tried to kill President Trump. That's the Bulletproof Project, and that's why we're doing this right now.
He is Jack Posobiec. The book is Bulletproof. Jack, thank you, my brother. All right. Jennifer Gilardi, I bet she has some fascinating things to say about Dome, her husband, single women voters, and more. Before we get to that, let's get to a good night's sleep, a little bit of dream powder. That's what you need in your life, is some dream powder. No, it's not an illegal drug. It's natural, actually. In fact, it's great. It's hot chocolate. I have a cup of hot chocolate whenever I want a good night's sleep. except I put dream powder in it. It's chocolate cinnamon. It's delicious. I warm up a little glass of milk in the microwave, and when I sip on it, I will just go to sleep. And I will wake up feeling like $1 million every single time. Not groggy, not still heavy, feeling great. Want to sleep like that? Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly, and you'll sleep like that every night. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Gang, to put it in our TikTok terms, I have seen girls on the street walk up to men and be like, do you know where a tampon goes? Do you know how many tampons we use? Do you even know how, like, do you know what a X or Y or Z is of a part of our, and they don't know the answer.
I was the first vice president or president to ever in office go to a reproductive healthcare clinic.
I'm so grossed out and weirded out. And anyway, we're going to talk to Jennifer Gilardi about all this stuff. Culture, health, policy writer joining me now. Former Lib, Jennifer Gilardi. Okay, Jennifer, this whole premise that they campaign on of how women are oppressed in this society and women are put upon in this society, I really am fascinated by it because by any measure, you're the luckiest person in the world if you're a woman born in the United States of America in this era. And yet, there are a lot of women who don't think that at all.
No, and apparently this woman call her daddy. Like, I feel dirtier just saying those words. I didn't even know this show existed until this week. And I don't know if it's just that I'm getting older, if I've become a prude. Maybe this is how my parents felt when I listened to Madonna's Like a Virgin. But there's something that seems to be so base in the culture right now, and this show is a perfect example of that. And I only heard about it. Megyn Kelly was talking about it, and rightly so, Kamala Harris going on the show. And so I listened to those bits, but then I said, let me go listen to the show myself to see a little bit of what it's about. And in the first minute you just saw there, she calls her listeners daddy gang, and something is just off about that. That is not empowering for women. But you know, this Kamala interview, I have to give it to her. In the first 5 minutes, she sounded more authentic than I think I've ever heard her sound. It was the first thing I've heard her say off script. She didn't talk about being from a middle class family. But that doesn't really say much when you're running for the president of the United States, right? We want to hear about presidential things, what you're going to do. And I get personality has part to do with it, but she kept talking about her mother and agency and how if she came home, you know, having a bad day, her mom would say, you know, give her a sense of agency and what could she do about her problems? Like, you know, there's always an action you can take, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's so interesting coming from a party that wants to take every agency away from everybody, unless it's the agency to abort your baby. That's all you have to scream with these women is abortion. And then they're, forget it. That's all they hear is abortion, abortion, abortion. And, or I'm sorry, the agency to change your sex, right? If you want to chop off body parts. But that's the only agency they know. They don't talk about the agency to speak freely or to question the narrative or the agency not to get a vaccination or the agency women have before conception to not have sex, right? Like there's no agency for that. It's just agency to abort a baby. And I get it. There's some, you know, extenuating circumstances that we can talk about when it comes to policy. But the fact of the matter is most of these abortions are birth control related, right? Oops, I don't want the baby or oops, I can't afford the baby. Well, the agency really comes and the reproductive freedom that they love to say is the freedom to choose when you have sex to reproduce. And so, you know, everybody's a victim except for this. And it's interesting, everyone's a victim, particularly of Donald Trump, right? Women are a victim of Donald Trump, always. And Donald Trump's gonna take away our freedoms. And I saw a video on Twitter that compared the 1984 character of Goldstein and the 2 minutes of hate. Do you remember that in the 1984 mm-hmm. book? Where the people get 2 minutes to just rage against Goldstein. You know, everything is his fault. They get 2 minutes to scream, and that's Trump. Women get to scream at Trump. He's doing this, he's taking away. And what's funny is he's actually protecting women when it comes to sports, when it comes to their safety and illegal immigrants crossing the border and rape. And he's trying to protect women. I was like, please, can we have men in charge again that will stand up and protect women?
That which is it's super benevolent because nobody even likes women's sports. But anyway, beside that, let's talk about something a little bit separate here. There was an article in Newsweek called "How Hot Girls Became the Right's New Obsession." Now, maybe it's just because I'm a man and didn't serve in the Air Force, but I thought we always liked hot girls. Is this now a right wing thing or what?
No, I mean, again, you probably talked about this, but it's like we need experts now to tell us, right? They consulted the experts on this and you know, they're trying to analyze men. I'm like, men are not that hard, the crisis of experts. Exactly. And these are the same experts that, you know, told us to stand 6 feet apart and all these experts' opinion. And it's like, we don't need this spelled out for us. We, you know, our eyes tell us we like beautiful things, right? We like beautiful women, men and women. We like beautiful architecture. We like beautiful art. And this, I think, kind of ties in with
the ice makers.
And beautiful ice makers. I mean, who doesn't want one of those on their counter? I'm so, you know, I feel blessed that you have opened my eyes to ice makers. But this kind of ties into the call her daddy thing. And it's the culture. Like, we can't disengage the culture from the politics. And when we have our presidential candidates going on shows like Call Her Daddy and Howard Stern, and people on Twitter saying, this has 5 million views, this is big, she's, you know, Howard Stern is endorsing Kamala Harris. Well, that's not exactly a ringing endorsement unless culturally you're at a place where you value these people and respect these people. And unfortunately, we do. We don't have our sights on beautiful things anymore. We're not properly orienting upwards. Does that make sense? I just feel like everything is very base, mm-hmm. and that's what appeals to the voters. And you said it, I think, in a tweet, and it so resonated with me. You said, you know, I'm at peace with whatever the outcome is, because if people are going to vote for Kamala Harris, then we deserve whatever we have coming to us. You know, if you are going to put the Call Her Daddy gang on a pedestal, if you're going to put Howard Stern, they keep talking about Trump. Well, at least Trump has kids that are upstanding and upworthy. And yes, they're from different women and he's had sexual dalliances, but his kids are well established and smart and contributing to society, right? Like, we're all going to fall, but we just seem to be very oriented towards the base. And like you said, if people vote for her, then we get what we deserve, I think.
Well, my buddy Mike Slater, I don't even know that he came up with this, but he's the first one I heard it from, so I always have to give him credit. As much as I hate to credit anyone else, he calls it the great flattening. Really, there is no beauty. There is no intelligence. There is no accomplishment. There is no this. We all have to be unlikable, tubby feminist hags without any friends, and then we'll all be equal. It really comes back to base, what you're talking about here. There's no beauty anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of catering to the lowest common denominator, right? And we see this in education. We have to lower the bar for education. We see it in DEI. We see it in, again, we now need experts to tell us why men are attracted to beautiful women. And this seems to be a conservative value when the left just says, well, you can be any sex you want. There is no difference, right? There is no opposition. There is no hierarchy. And that creates a very bland kind of socialist type of culture. And when people become okay with that, when they start to normalize those things, I think it just brings us all down. I was listening to a very interesting kind of, you know, a little esoteric, but a conversation between Bishop Barron and Jonathan Peugeot, who's an iconographer, you know, so he took his art in the religious form. And I think this is what happens when you take God, religion out of culture, right? It's, you're not oriented upward. You're kind of, like your friend said, flattened. And so they get excited about Howard Stern and Call Her Daddy and, you know, The View that Kamala is going on these shows. And then on the right, we have people like RFK who fights for the environment and kind of animal protection and cleaning things up. And his running mate, Nicole Shanahan, who I've been really impressed by, and I've been listening to more of her things, and she's creative. She's come up with these really funny ads. I don't know if you've seen the ads she's come up with on her side. And Tulsi Gabbard and these people seem, you know, you can have your opinions about them, but they seem rightly oriented. I think they're all people of deep faith, whatever that faith is. And they actually seem to be fighting for something good and beautiful. And the left just seems to want us to kind of turn everything ugly. I mean, even architecture these days is just gross.
Yeah, it is. Jennifer, everybody, focus on what is beautiful. Focus on me. Jennifer, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the question of defunding Planned Parenthood, look, I mean, our view is we don't think that taxpayers should fund late-term abortions. That has been a consistent view of the Trump campaign the first time around. It will remain a consistent view.
Well, that's great news. We're going to defund Planned Parenthood. I swear, I mean, I am getting older, but I swear I've heard that before. Joining me now, Seth Gruber, author of the book, The 1916 Project. Seth, I understand my mind doesn't work quite as well as it used to work, but defunding Planned Parenthood, I swear to you, I have heard this before. It's almost like I'm having the worst deja vu, but Republicans are going to defund Planned Parenthood next time, right, Seth?
That's right. Listen, Jesse, I so appreciate your voice. Listen, I like Trump. I like Vance. But come on, man. Why do today's Republicans look like Democrats 15 or 20 years ago? Brother, I'm tired of it. G.K. Chesterton wrote 100 years ago in 1924. He said, "The business of progressives is to keep on making mistakes. The business of conservatives is to prevent the mistakes being corrected." Even when the revolutionist himself might repent of his revolution, the traditionalist is already defending that as a part of his tradition. So listen, we have to raise the standard here. If we are going to call ourselves conservatives and we are not ready or comfortable to call for the total abolition of abortion and the protection of preborn life from the moment of conception, then one day we will wake up and find that there is nothing left to conserve. And so come on, J.D. Vance, awesome. Time to fulfill that promise. But you're right, Jesse, we've heard this many, many, many times before.
All right, let's talk about the why, Seth. This is an issue, even though the general public may not want to hear about it during a general election. In fact, you could even argue that it is harmful to our electoral chances. But the GOP base very much does want it, even if they're kind of squishy weenies on abortion, which I am not, as everyone knows. But even if you are, the base would want Planned Parenthood defunded. They wouldn't want their taxpayer money going to it. It's a promise we've heard a million times. Why hasn't it been done? Why is there never any political will to do it? Do they just get there and have other things in mind?
So, Jesse, I think that there are many people in the conservative movement, in the Republican Party, who, and unfortunately in the broader pro-life movement, who function more like prostitutes for the GOP than advocates for the unborn child. There is such a thing as the pro-life establishment, if I may, Jesse, which means make lots of beautiful, big pro-life declarations. But when the rubber meets the road and it's time to actually fulfill those promises and begin to abolish abortion. Remember, I mean, the Republican Party, the grand old party, the GOP, until Trump's language helped the GOP change their pro-life language in the party platform, it used to call for protection of preborn life from the moment of conception at the federal level. It was like something like 1,200 words or something that made up the pro-life articulation of the Republican Party platform. Now it's like 150 words or something like that. And the Republican Party now says, "We oppose late-term abortion," which is like 5% or less of the nation's abortions. And it used to be from conception, protect the preborn child because they're babies and every human is a person. So this is what happens when Republicans, conservatives aren't as unyielding, zealous for our conservative principles as the left always is for their demonic, stupid, inverted, progressive, which is really regressive. There's nothing progressive about progressivism. Their ideology, they are far more stalwart defenders of leftism than most people who call themselves conservatives are for conservatism. This is not complicated, Jesse. If you don't get the right to life right, you won't get any other rights right.
People say it's a states' rights issue or this or that, and I try to explain to people, Seth, that it's not a states' rights issue, it's a cultural issue. In fact, it goes beyond our politicians. It goes beyond the useless GOP. It goes beyond all that. We have a culture of death. We do have a country that loves abortion. We do have a nation full of women who believe they should have every right to carve up their baby like a Thanksgiving turkey if they want to go get smashed in Cabo on spring break. That is the culture we've created in this country. And it took a long time to create that culture. It didn't happen yesterday, did it?
That's right, brother. Things happen gradually, then suddenly, just like bankruptcy. And I think in 2020, a lot of people, Jesse, I'm sure you agree, kind of woke up and said, what happened to my country? Drag queen story hour happened really fast. I just got fired for not taking the mRNA tested with aborted baby jab. Oh my goodness, I don't recognize my country anymore. But of course, the reality is like a lot of that junk had been brewing under the surface of the American culture for decades. And then the dam broke open, right? And then it feels like this happened suddenly, but it didn't. It happened gradually for a long, long time. And this is why I wrote my book and created a film called The 1916 Project. It comes out October 22nd, streaming on X, formerly known as Twitter. We're working on getting Elon Musk to watch it right now. The book goes way, way deeper on all this stuff. But basically, we open the film and book, Jesse, with the story of the 1619 Project revolutionaries and BLM Incorporated after George Floyd and canceling Syrup Lady Aunt Jemima, because everything's racist. They went after their own, Jesse. You probably remember the story, but the revolution always eats their own. So the pro-abortion left, let me say this again, this was not attacked from pro-lifers. This was pro-abortion leftists attacking Planned Parenthood in July of 2020. This story will shock you, and it's how I opened my book and film. And they said, hey, Planned Parenthood, hey, your founder, Margaret Sanger? Yeah, she was a racist and a eugenicist. And brother, as a homeschool kid with intellectual ADHD that does way too much research, this was front row hilarious theater for me. I'm like, are you kidding me? We've been saying that for 100 years. And so because of pressure from the radical left, Planned Parenthood canceled Margaret Sanger. This connects to the opening of your show with defunding Planned Parenthood and J.D. Vance, because cultural Marxism and critical race theory says if something started in overt racism and bigotry, you can't redeem it. Like basically for the layperson, Jesse, if the tree is super bigoted and racist, you can't just trim the racist twigs of a racist tree and save the tree. You got to burn down the whole thing and remake it from the ashes because the seed was racist. So basically they attack Planned Parenthood and say your founder was a racist. But notice, did they call for the defunding of Planned Parenthood, who received $700 million? Of our taxpayer dollars last year? No. Did Planned Parenthood say, we're going to stop doing what we do because you're right, our seed is super racist? No, they said, our seed is super racist. Margaret Sanger was a racist and eugenicist and harmed Black people, but we're going to continue doing what we've always done for the last 110 years. So we answer the question in this book, where did those ideas come from? Why is the Democrat Party now on board, not just with abortion through point of birth, but arresting pro-life sidewalk counselors, chemically castrating America's gender-confused youth? Oh, wait a second, Jesse. Planned Parenthood's fastest growing revenue stream is not abortion. It's trans drugs for teens. They're the second largest provider of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for America's gender-confused youth in the land of the free and the home of the brave. This is not even a pro-life film, actually, Jesse. It's more a, here's how the culture of death was created and all the sexual revolutionary diddle-the-kids cultural Marxist weirdos who manufactured the society that's now happening suddenly, so quickly before our eyes. It's time to stand up. It's time to wake up. It's time to learn how we got here so we can reverse engineer the sexual revolution.
No doubt about it. By the way, we have a trailer for Seth's film. I want you to go watch it when it comes out. Here's the trailer for it.
What Christians often don't understand in the culture wars and in the fight for life is that abortion is not just one issue among many. Abortion is almost the linchpin upon which the liberal establishment swings. But what happens when you pull out a linchpin? The door falls off.
Stop waiting for someone else to grow a righteous culture of life for you and on your family's behalf. It will not happen. If not you, who? If not now, when?
Seth, before I let you go, real quickly, why the 1916 Project? Why'd you name it that?
There it is. So I'll finish my thought from before, Brother Jesse. It was the disciples of the New York Times 1619 Project, which was 9 months before George Floyd, which says America's based on slavery. So America's birthday should not be 1776. It should be 1619, when the first black slaves came to American shores. There's nothing good about America. And so burn it all down. We're all racist. And it was that movement that led to Planned Parenthood canceling their founder in July of 2020. And so we're saying, actually, if you want to understand American culture today and the real kooky, racist, eugenics driven culture that we're living through, you don't go back to 1619. You go back to 1916, when a woman named Margaret Sanger opened her very first clinic that brother turned into the billion-dollar organization we know today as Planned Parenthood, the best-funded 501c3 in human history, the largest abortion provider in the world, the largest provider of the pornographic sex ed in America's public schools, and the second largest provider of trans drugs for teens. How the heck did that happen? We're blowing the cover off of things that are going to get you called an Alex Jones conspiracy theorist. However, I provide all of the receipts to prove all of the Nazi-esque, Hitlerian, eugenics, Alfred Kinsey, Hugh Hefner, sexual revolutionary links that led to the founding of the best-funded 501c3 in human history, Planned Parenthood. We have been lied to, Jesse, for a really long time. So pick up the book, see the film on X on October 22nd.
It is the 1916 Project. Get the book, watch the film. Seth, thank you, my brother. All right. It's time to let me move. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten my mood. And I love to laugh. I love to smile. We love to be inspired, inspire others. When we play funny videos of kids, I love it. When we play people tripping and falling, as long as they don't hurt themselves or anything like that, we love it. We like to lighten the mood at the end of the show. But there is one thing that lightens my mood above and beyond really anything I can think of. And that one thing is dead communists. Che Guevara was an evil, murderous piece of worthless trash. He slaughtered as many people as he possibly could slaughter, like every communist does. Of course, always in the name of equality. And today is the anniversary, the wonderful anniversary of Che Guevara's death. So I want to wish you, I want to wish everyone, I want to wish humanity, the earth itself, I want to wish everybody a happy Che Day. And if you're curious about who this person is, no, he's not just the guy your liberal hippie daughter shows up with a t-shirt with his face on it while she's smoking weed. He was so much more and so much worse than that. If you want to learn about him, we actually did a special on him. Go watch it. TheFirstTV.com/history. Go watch it and celebrate with me. Happy anniversary. See you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.